Welcome back to Bibliosynensis.
Welcome back, everyone.
It's been a long time.
It's been very long, I feel like.
It's a little embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, but boy, do we have a story to tell you.
Oh my gosh, guys, get cozy. Get to your favorite nook, because we're about to tell you something that we were having the hardest time putting into words.
It's like a hangover at this point.
I guess a hangover?
Well, we're coming off the effects of everything that's happened. We're definitely going to be spilling some tea today.
Lots of tea. Personal tea.
Yes.
And being that, let's pour some cuppa.
I'm taking this time to cough.
Yes.
It never gets old.
I mean, it kind of sounds wrong right now.
It's so cool to see the color off of this tea. I can't wait to share this with everybody. You can't see it through the sound world, but it's like a mossy, almost a teal color, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, gosh.
I love this tea.
It always hits you. Which is so funny, because it's like the most calming tea that we have in our collection.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, we definitely have some herbals that will put you to sleep, but this is a decaf tea, and it is a brand new tea, and it has been doing quite well. It's one of our top sellers recently.
Yes, we've been very, busy offline.
Yes. That's part of the everything we need to spill today, but what we are drinking is called Willow the Wisp.
Yes.
And, it is inspired off of the graveyard swamp fairies in Scotland that live in the mist. Basically, I feel like everybody loves a good London fog.
Yes.
I mean, while I was rereading and writing my book, I have a whole chapter on London fog and how comforting it is. But I noticed that everybody wants to wind down with a good London fog, but they have caffeine in them. So yeah. I made a decaffeinated version.
Yes.
And I put some other good elements in it. It's a decaf Earl Grey, but it definitely has that big hit of vanilla bean in it, which we love. And then it has accents of lavender and jasmine buds in it, which gives it like almost a honey taste with the light lavender soothing feel to it. But then the unexpected note in it is the blue butterfly pea flower. And that's what gives it that murky teal color, but it also adds to that honey note that you get in the florals.
Oh, my gosh.
So think about decaffeinated Earl Grey with big, heady vanilla and lavender notes and a little touch of a honey note.
Literally everybody that has had a taste of this, I warn them to don't drive after drinking this.
It's probably the lavender in it, too, because I did go pretty strong. But it's not a lavender oil. It's culinary lavender that you get in there.
Exactly. Recipe for disaster for those drivers out there. This was fantastic, though, seeing as LA has become like Oregon for like the past 9 months.
Yeah.
It's been raining here like crazy.
It has, and you'll have to forgive me. I have a bit of the sniffles today, but I mean,
a lot of people have had the hardest time sleeping.
Really?
Yeah. A lot, because it's the weather, it's the temperature. You know, just the lack of sun hasn't actually allowed people to regain the energy that they want. But it hasn't allowed them to sleep properly either.
That's so funny, because I'm the opposite. Like, when it starts to get warm, I do not want outside. I know. Which is funny. It usually, when it starts to get summery or springtime, like warm spring in LA, I always have, like, a headache for a few days, and it takes me a while to get used to it. And then all of a sudden, like, I'll be fine, but it's those few couple of days. I just feel like the Witch of the West just melting. Help me.
I know I've been enjoying buying new clothes because of the weather. I mean, like, you got me, like, this fantastic trench coat. I got Chelsea boots, working Chelsea boots, mind right. you. And, like, I don't know. I haven't worn colors like these for, like, such a long time. And I can understand now how New Yorkers do it.
Well, like, to my East Coast girlies, I get the need for cardigans now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had one or two in my collection at best.
Yes.
But now I have a whole trunk full.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time since we've bought new flip-flops. I'm starting to, like, get the shakes, like,
what's I know. Wrong with that's me? Like a that's a yearly thing for us.
Yeah. Come on, man. What's happening here?
The audacity of wearing closed-toed shoes for more than half the year.
How dare they?
I know.
So, being that, yeah. I guess we should review what's been happening.
Yeah, so, first of all, I'd like to apologize to the reader base, because Eugene has actually wanted to record a podcast for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tried. We've had multiple recordings, but they all just did not come out good.
No.
And it was mainly because, long story short, we lost our wellness center. We lost Cove.
Yeah.
And it was too raw. It was too raw for me. And I'll explain the story now. I mean, I feel like finally there's a close on this chapter.
Yeah, and we needed it.
We really needed it. Not that it's a good thing, but it was just almost surreal. I was on Instagram the other day, and apparently I found out that our landlords are actually shutting pretty much the entire property down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's strange. It's just really bizarre to me. So basically, the reason why we love the location is it's actually one of the oldest buildings in Canoga Park. If you watch, or if you go on Wikipedia and you go search Owen's Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Owen's Mouth was the original location for Canoga Park.
Yeah.
It was one of the first places that had the railways that went through that were designed by Huntington. But you'll see, like, this one odd building out of three, and that's actually the building that we built Cove in. We were on the top story.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of history and we loved it, but the way it's designed is there's a giant shop on the bottom and then there's offices on the top. And we took one of the larger suites. But the bottom was actually owned by Esoterica.
Yes.
Which was a metaphysical shop. And it was also a tarot card school. And we loved it. We loved the energy it came with it. It was a total woman-owned business. And we helped each other out. It was great.
Yeah.
I loved it. In fact, some of their instructors would actually teach at our space on other days and vice versa. Yeah. So it was really great. We loved it. We would host Hive Market down there. Kelly, that's actually how we met Kelly, my partner at the time. We met her through the markets because she would host it monthly.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's really sad because, as any business owner knows, the first couple of months is always going to be in the red.
Yeah.
You're always not going to be turning a profit because of just the amount of money that you put in.
Well, it takes a year.
Right.
And then you kind of see whether you can or can't make profit.
Right. And I'm being very transparent here. We were definitely in the red because of just the amount of having to fix up the space. Yeah. I mean, might as well be blunt. It was basically like a druggy den when we found
it. I mean, we got it literally after COVID, man.
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah. I mean, we found all kinds of crazy things. I mean, there was literally this, I think we brought it up in the podcast, and if we didn't, I mean, it's pretty funny, but there was this one recliner that was so big that it wouldn't even fit through the door.
Yeah.
We had to literally hack it with an axe to take it out, but when we did so, we found like 8-9 doobies, like rolled up, rough, old school doobies.
I mean, okay, for those that aren't in the LA area, Canoga Park is a rough side of town.
Yes.
But it is going to be the next place to be
gentrify.
Developed.
Yeah.
It's gentrifying the whole place.
It's getting better, but let's just say we were on the cusp of the turning point. So,
because we knew it was going to get gentrified.
Exactly.
You know, like it's the perfect place for like your next hipster business.
I mean, literally, like, less than a mile from us is a Louis Vuitton store at the mall. It was kind of a weird experience.
Yeah.
It was like, you had this super high-end mall that made, like, even Beverly Hills jealous.
Right.
Right? There was, like, the Neiman Marcus Cafe and everything. And then a block over was us.
Yeah.
And it was still slightly rough, but it was getting better. I mean, the eateries were getting great.
The comic book shops were like two stories tall.
Yeah, it was really up and coming, and that's why we were really planning to stick our grounds there and make it happen.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, we did a lot of work on the space. I mean, the whole thing was blood red carpet from the 80s or early 90s. We don't even know when it was washed. I mean, we had to literally, I don't know how many light bulbs we had to put in. Like, there was no lighting in there.
Yeah.
Recessed lighting, ceiling lighting, and we had to put in wood flooring in one of the rooms. It was just, it was rough. Oof. A lot of paint, a lot of patch. But we invested, like, thousands of dollars into this space. Like, a lot. Let's just say quite a bit.
Yeah. Like, we could have had a really great vacation with that money.
We could have gone on a one-month cruise, probably, for the price that we put into this space, and we loved it. But here's the thing, by April, we were already slowly starting to break even monthly.
Yeah.
And the space was really turning for the best. I mean, we were pulling.
Yeah.
We were pulling, and we were in that weird stage where you're making up for the months prior, so we're almost coming out of the overall red. Mm-hmm. but unfortunately, I guess it was an act of God, but in June, I think it was. June or May or June?
I think it might have been May.
May. I got a call from my business partner, Kelly, who did the wellness side, ironically, of the center. And she was in the emergency room, and it turns out, like, her whole life she had an irregular shaped heart. I don't know all the details anymore. I mean, what matters is she was basically in ER for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In Nevada, of all places, because she was on a Vegas vacation. And
she couldn't be in a place with high stress, so
no more.
No more LA.
So we made the decision together, and I knew it the minute she told me, and she's like, Steph, I don't know what to do. And I just said, we take it one day at a time. There just can't you know, I didn't say it then that there just can't be a cove, but I just knew, like, her life was more important than that, obviously.
Obviously.
But now, the process of taking a business that was growing and taking it apart.
Yeah.
That was hard.
That was heartbreaking.
It was.
Like, I would lose my temper out of nowhere, kind of heartbreaking. Like, I couldn't tell what I was feeling. I just felt it.
Yeah, and all of the savings from T Spectral's earnings over the years that we had put into it was gone.
Yeah.
It was a very sound business choice. I look back at it, I thought I was an absolute idiot because, you know, you go from everything to nothing. But I think I was being hard on myself and I realize it was a solid plan.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
It's just an act of God. You know?
Basically is what it was. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was at a point where I technically could have maybe for a month or two made it survive with just us. But it wouldn't have been sound. It wouldn't have been financially.
Well, imagine if we actually did it without our business partner.
Yeah, like, it wouldn't have survived. Rift. I mean, all jokes aside about LA rent is insane.
Yeah.
And I can't bring myself to fend for myself in a 4-room suite in a up and coming prime area with the space we had. We wouldn't have been able to be okay.
No. Even spiritually. Especially spiritually.
Yeah, because I think our space was literally the size of a house.
Yeah.
It was huge.
It was beautiful.
It was a gorgeous space.
Lord. But, sorry, Tinkerbell. We're sad that your space is going away. It was a fantastic metaphysical shop.
It was a great community.
Yeah. And we're going to miss you guys.
Yeah.
So.
It was the perfect... I mean, we didn't talk about it much on here, but it was the perfect place to start our little cafe, too.
Really? It really was. So, to that, we toast.
Cheers. Yeah, I would have been crying my brains out or saying some hysterical stuff had we recorded this sooner.
Oh my god, the other times we've recorded this, I swear we were like, just, it felt like we like broke up with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Why won't they call me back?
Is it me or is it you?
Like, I still have your old stuff.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I know, like, we had to get a storage unit. And
at one point, yeah.
After a while, since, you know, we kind of readjusted, we got rid of the storage unit, brought the stuff back here, and had to come up with a new plan. And here it comes.
Yeah.
We've been at farmer's market.
Yeah, we finally got into farmer's markets. Mainly because we missed that community we got.
Yeah.
It was totally different. I mean, think about it this way. For a company that started on the online scale, strictly.
Right.
Like, just on the online. Our whole community was Instagram influencers, Facebook, Reddit feeds.
Yeah.
Great. And then for a while, like, especially during the COVID times, I miss so much those live streams where people would come to chat on the live streams, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess that just became less and less popular and people became less and less social online, which I honestly do not blame them one bit, because when you're stuck in a house for a year and a half, you're going to want to get out.
Yeah.
And I mean, for any of you that are hearing this, I miss you guys so much.
God.
I really miss the community we had. And I know things change and a lot of growing pains and things move on, which I've come to accept. But we wanted that community back.
Yeah.
So we went to farmers markets.
Exactly.
And it's been pretty great.
It's been nice. It's been nice. We've basically stretched ourselves out into the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And found the right farmers markets to be a part of.
Right.
So, thank you for those that have actually joined us at the farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for being part of our new community locally. And due to that, we've come out with some really, you know, good teas because of such feedback.
Yeah, so Will-O-Wisp, or Will-O-The-Wisp, as we're drinking right now, came to be because it's almost like a test kitchen. You can literally pack like 4 or 5 of the blend you're having.
Yeah.
Let people sample it at market and get actual in-person
impressions.
Immediate impressions off of the tea. And it's great. Where I would literally have to run the risk, buy a huge bulk of tea, make the tea, put it on the internet, and cross your fingers that it would become someone's favorite.
Exactly.
So the blending experience has been really incredible with the farmers markets available to us.
Yeah. And due to that, we have basically begun, I guess, stretching our limbs into trying other things.
Yeah.
In the community, we've met people that we could actually collaborate with.
Yes. So we met another tea vendor, Jen, with Fitbis.
Yes.
Now, her philosophy for her tea shop is she wants to make apothecary wellness good for everybody, available to everyone. And she actually encourages people to blend their own herbal remedies through what she has available at shop.
Yeah.
But she actually sells tea spectral tea blends at her shop, as well as a few other incredible small business tea owners, like Magic Tea, which is the kidney wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been great. I mean, Jen is an incredible human. We meet up once a month. We try to get sooner, and we grab some boba.
Yes.
And we chat, and we talk about the industry, and we don't find either of us competition to each other.
I mean, we've kind of summarized that T-Spectral is a purveyor, while she's an apothecary.
Yes.
So, it's been nice. It's been nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of helped us maneuver, even with other tea shop companies or coffee shop companies.
Yeah, and you know, for being in the industry of tea for this many years, I've learned you can't be everything to everybody.
No, no.
And I know that tea has natural health properties, but Tea Spectral is more focused on the blends and the experience.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, we're about the culture.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So when we don't have something that will satisfy a specific need, we just send them to Fimbus.
Yeah.
And in vice versa, she sends them to us.
Exactly.
And it's been great synergy.
So, it's been lovely.
Yeah.
I know that we've connected with a honey broker.
Yes. I wouldn't call it a broker. It comes straight from the source. So we're actually pairing with Joaquin, who lives in Whittier, in the hills of Whittier.
Okay.
And he actually rescues bees from buildings and places they shouldn't be, that are hazards for humans. And he takes their little hives and he puts them on his property in the hills. And they forage off of the wildlife or the wild flora in California.
Yeah, which I didn't know is how you flavor honey.
Yes. So, you know, when you pick up teas, I just say teas one too many times. When you pick up honey, you'll see one that says sage or orange blossom. That's actually based on the seasons. So if the orange blossoms are in full bloom, then the majority of your honey is flavored with orange blossom.
Yes.
Honey. But we carry it all. We carry solidly three flavors. We have a wildflower, we have a sage, and we have an orange blossom.
Yes.
But we also do have limited edition ones, which he brings in from time to time, like eucalyptus.
Yes.
And buckwheat. But it's great. It's all raw honey, and it's all from saved, rescued bees. It supports the local community. And Eugene's been addicted to it. I think we've gone through three bears.
Yeah, I know.
We have different sizes. So we have the classic honey sticks, which we sell in a variety 6-pack on our website. But we also have mini bears. And that's actually what caught my eye when I first met him at the market. He made them for travel size. But they're also just right if you're making a little gift basket. Yeah. Basket. Yes. they're just, I don't know how to explain them. They're 4 ounces. They're very small. They're about
the size of a cup.
Well, those are the larger ones. So the large 8 ounces are the size of a cup and they go pretty far. But the mini bears are, I think they're about the size of like a mason jar lid.
Oh, okay.
But they're small and they're portable and they're absolutely adorable.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
So they're great if you want to do like stocking stuffers kind of thing or a little gift set. They fit in mugs.
Yes.
So you can make a little mug gift basket. Perfect. But yeah, we sell honey now.
Yeah. It's been nice because basically we're starting to create like this little picnic culture.
Mm-hmm.
Around us. You know, I guess all we're missing is like a blanket and mugs and just everything but the kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
So, be nice. Be nice, yeah. to have one right now. But no, it's raining. It is pouring. I want it to stop.
I'm fine with the rain.
Oh, mercy.
I love the rain.
Well,
Go ahead. I was about to say, isn't there like a term for that? Like a perviophile? A puviophile?
Something of that sort, yes.
Is someone who's addicted to the rain?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's okay. We'll look it up later.
Yeah. So, with that,
yes,
we are continuing business as usual. We do apologize for the online shoppers out there. We haven't really gotten enough tea for the online store.
Yeah, so because of the influx of markets, I hadn't expected it to be so. I mean, I wish it was more successful, but it's definitely successful. And it's to a point where it's hard to keep inventory steady. Plus, because of the farmers markets, we've gained more wholesale accounts.
Yeah.
So you can catch us in more places.
I mean, business is back.
Business is definitely crawling back, and it's what we desperately needed, but it's also, it's been a juggling act to keep inventory in stock, and I think we're finally getting a hold on that.
Right.
So,
I mean, not to spill tea, but everybody's kind of been buying each other out after, COVID.
Yeah, so we will go into that drama.
We've all been shifting.
Let's just say that the changes in the tea industry as a whole have really affected the small businesses.
Yes.
And it has made us... It has made it much harder for us to get the tea from the brokers and from the farms like we used to.
Right.
But for someone like me who really cares about integrity of the tea and what's put in the tea.
Yeah.
Regardless that we flavor our teas, we care about the ingredients and how it would affect our customers. It's been very difficult to either find replacements for certain parts of ingredients or to get those ingredients like we used to. And that's why if you go on our website and see half of the things in stock and half of them sold out, it's either it was bought immediately by a wholesale company or it's sold immediately online at the farmer's market, or we're still waiting on for that particular source or item to come back in for us to blend. And it has been an absolute nightmare. but I guess it was a blessing too, because had it not happened, I wouldn't have been able to get into contact with other purveyors or brokers, and find new ingredients that are not only of a better quality than from where we were originally sourced, but also, other varietals of it, which allows us to make more blends.
I'm going to miss my pu'er. Yeah. Taiwan is now part of, is it already part of China?
I don't know.
Either way, it's been hard to get my pu'er, man. It's irritating me.
What's the hardest tea? I've been having a hard time sourcing anything like honeybush related or rooibos. Mm. Like, of the quality that I want.
Serious? Because Starbucks has been getting their...
I know, but of the quality that we have, it has been really hard.
Wow.
I think I've finally found a match, but it has been rough.
Huh.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, do not want to touch industry, rumors
tea.
And gossip.
We're not touching the industry,
yeah,
tea.
Yeah, that's not our deal here.
We don't want to be that group.
And so, trust me, we can.
We can. We'll leave that for our tea discussions with Jen.
Okay, cool. Anyways. Being that, also, we are going to be making an appearance at a local book festival.
Well, we were there last year, and I'm sure people remember that podcast. That was wonderful.
Yes.
With Brent, was it? Brent?
Yeah. But this time around, we are giving samples. We have a table, and you can refill all day!
Yeah, so basically, we are bringing the farmer's market to you, and we will have our tent set up in the courtyard.
Yes.
And we will have samples of tea for the entire duration of the festival.
Yes.
And the festival coordinators wanted to work with us and create basically a fun place to come and read and relax and drink some tea.
Yes. We are on the Altadena side of the Lit Fest of the Dinas. Mm-hmm. So we do apologize for the people on the Pasadena side of the festival.
Well, they have shuttles.
Yeah, but they don't, they're not going to have that factor of like, ooh, ah, there's a TP person over here. They're going to be like going to the Pasadena side where they're like, oh my gosh, there's wine.
Oh, yes, but we'll have the tea side.
Yes, we are at the mausoleum with tea spectral.
Yes, trust me. I feel my cred growing.
So, in the, should we actually spoil it now, or should we spoil it at the event? I think we should spoil it now. Bibliosinensis, the podcast, will be closing.
Yes.
And we are to open a new podcast and we'd like it if you guys could join us. And it's named literally after the cafe we started at Cove.
Yes.
So
please welcome Authoress Cafe after this episode.
And thank you for joining us for all of Bibliosinensis, which is now literally the name of our corporation.
Yes, we registered it. We are now Bibliosinensis Corporation.
LLC.
And that blankets everything. That's has T-Spectral under it and other things that we've been working on, which we can't wait to share amidst all the growing pains that we felt last year.
Yes, yes.
Mainly the decision was made because we noticed that these more improvisational conversation sort of podcasts are what you enjoy.
Exactly.
We started Bibliosinensis with a very strict format where we would read articles and talk about books and book habits.
And good God, it was fun.
It was fun, but it was also very structured.
And people that read want to go reading. They don't want to talk.
Exactly. So, based on feedback and our listeners and, well, what the statistics say, we noticed that you, for some reason, enjoy us fuddy-duddies talking together on episodes casually, which we appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
But, and yeah, to keep the tradition of conversation and tea alive and keeping up with books and life and just overall.
We are going to be bringing the cafe to you.
Yes.
So to that, thank you.
Thank you. And I guess this is farewell to see you soon.
Cheers.
Cheers.